Welcome to Water of the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. Join us today as Pastor Steve continues through a verse-by-verse study of the book of Zechariah. Though written more than 500 years before Jesus, this powerful little book has much to say about today's headlines, as well as deep insight into the Lord's work and ministry in the lives of believers right now. So come on along. May we all be refreshed and inspired as we are washed by the water of the Word.
Sometimes I turn off my radio in the car just so the peace and quiet. And I talk to God and then I listen. In fellowship. Yeah, with a bunch of other coconuts just like you. WWPF, Acts 2:42, and then the Bible says, we will grow. And in that day, holiness to the Lord shall be engraved on the bells of the horses. If you will, the public portion of your lives. The pots in the Lord's house shall be like the pots before the altar. There will no longer be a distinction between what is secular and what is sacred. It will all be the same. Everyone is walking around filled with the Spirit of God. In public, bells of the horses. In your sacred times, when you really want to focus on the Lord, the pots in the Lord's house shall be like the bowls before the altar. And verse 21, and yes, every pot in Jerusalem and Judah, so in public, at home, and at worship, shall be holiness to the Lord of hosts. Everyone who sacrifices shall come and take them and cook in them. And in that day there should no longer be a Canaanite. That's a colloquial term right in your margin there. Hosea chapter 12 verse 7, where it talks about, quote, a cunning Canaanite with deceitful scales. There's not going to be wolves among the sheep. Pretty good promise encapsulated in this term Canaanite in the house of the Lord of hosts. What we need, y'all, is holiness. And don't let that word scare you. How do I get holy? Do I have to jump through a bunch of hoops? Can I show you an Old Testament idea? Would you join me in 1 Samuel chapter 4? 1 Samuel chapter 4. Old Testament pictures are New Testament principles. And I'm going to show you some real events that happened to some real people. But let's keep our Jesus glasses on, and let's see if you and I can't learn a thing or two. In chapter 4, it says, and the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now Israel went out to battle against the Philistines. Who were those? That was their enemy. And encamped beside Ebenezer, and the Philistines encamped in Aphek. Verse 2. Then the Philistines put themselves in battle array against Israel, and when they joined battle, Israel was defeated by the Philistines, who killed about 4,000 men of the army in the field. I thought once you sign up for God's team, you should never see defeat. Well, looky here. What's going on? Now, here's often what happens. God allows us a time or two to experience the bitterness of defeat. Why? To defeat us? No. Usually to let you know you are holding on to something too tight. God in His love sometimes knows that in your heart you don't know it, but you have grabbed the steering wheel of your life and you are steering in a certain way. You may come to church Sundays and Wednesdays. You may be in your Bible and everything. And you may feel in your brain, I think I'm doing exactly what God wants me to do. And sometimes God says, well, not really. You have an attitude issue. I've got to bring to you a defeat or two or three until you take your hands off the wheel and say, Lord, is there something I'm missing? By the way, we don't have time to turn there, but in chapter 2 and chapter 3 of 1 Samuel, we are introduced to a fellow by the name of Eli, who is the high priest. Eli has two bad sons, Hophni and Phinehas. And what do? They use their position, God's priesthood, to make a living and to make merchandise of God's people. And Eli, the old man, would never correct them. Verse 3, and when the people had come into the camp after losing 4,000 guys, the elders of Israel said, let's seek the Lord, fast and pray, and not go out to battle again until we hear his heart. That's not what they do. Look what they do. Why has the Lord defeated us today before the Philistines? I know. Ding. Let's bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord from Shiloh to us. And when it comes among us, it, circle that, it may save us. Oh, loved one, an it can never save you. It's got to be a who. Not as in Horton, here's a who, not that one. Come on now, we all do this. Maybe we wear a cross on our neck, which I'm not saying that's not a bad thing. I'm just saying it's like the thing with the vampire. Get back, you. That's an it. It's a trinket. And we humans, we love the it to heal us, and we don't want to rush immediately to the who. Happens in the Christian church all the time. Did you get the book? What book? 12 steps. So that you won't be fat in the Lord. Jesus doesn't want you fat. I better get that book. Jesus wants you this. Jesus wants you that. Do you have an addiction that's kicking your butt? Well, come to this seminar and there'll be 7 steps to this. Check 4 boxes for that. Do this seminar, do this formula, and you'll get healed. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. I have been to meetings where they pulled up a trash can and they say, how many of you are stuck because you can't stop smoking? And somebody, I can't stop smoking. You know what it is? It's a demon of nicotine. Come up here and we'll pray for you. And they slap you on the back, really, blah, and you choke something out, hopefully. Then it's a successful meeting, I guess. Into the trash can. Everybody goes, wee, you're delivered from the spirit of nicotine. And you go, I feel good. Na, 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 na. I knew that I would now. Barfed it into the can. Whoo. I've been to those meetings. And then, that was, let's say, on a Sunday night. Monday morning, still feeling pretty good. And then comes Tuesday. And then Wednesday. Oh, that spirit of nicotine is on me again. Loved one, it's not a spirit of nicotine. It's called the flesh. The flesh wars against the spirit. If I fall over under the power of God, all these things, if I could just do this, it, then I'll get free. No, loved one, it is never an it. It is a who, the Lord God, who died on the cross so that the power of sin can be broken. And many Christians are not experiencing a spirit-filled life of victory because even though they're saved, they're not doing what God has said. They're not giving it a certain amount of discipline. And we love it when people come up and pray because we have people who love to pray with you. But I pray you're not praying the same thing 6 months later that we prayed for you 6 months before. And a lot of people will see some of you who have life and you have a family that works. You have a husband who loves his wife, and Christ loves the church, a wife who supports her husband, and they discipline their kids in a godly manner. And they watch their money in a biblical fashion. And they got life. And too many others who don't want to do the hard work of telling the flesh, shut up. I'm going to church when I don't feel like it. I'm reading my Bible when it feels like nothing is there. I go ask for forgiveness when out of my mouth I caught myself grinding on another brother or sister. And those people who don't do the work, they have their little IV tubes and they want to stick it to some of you who do have life. Can I have some more? You have? And then they will suck you for everything that you have, and then when you can't give them any more, they get mad at you. Fine. Take my IV tube and over here. Hi, Dan. Hey, Fred, Rick, Pastor Steve. Fix me, heal me. I can't fix you. I hope that doesn't break too many hearts. I'm not smart enough. I'm just a beggar who knows where he found some bread. I weep like you. I fail like you. I am challenged with my magnets in my life that always are talking to me. I've got to swim actively. I've got to get up. I've got to get into the Word. I've got to WWPF. Somebody was praying the other day, "Oh, Lord, open up a can of whoopeth." And I went, "What? WWPF. That'll be a bumper sticker. No, it's not. WWPF, you guys, remember the manna in the desert? Who got the manna? You did. Could you have somebody go get manna for you? No. Loved ones, it is never an it. It is a who. Let's keep reading. It will save us from the hand of the enemies. So the people sent to Shiloh that they might bring from there the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of hosts who dwells between the cherubim. This will get those Philistines. And the two sons of Eli, there they are, Hophni and Phinehas. A couple of characters. I wrote in my Bible, carnality loves programs and seminars and steps and boxes to check. There's Hophni and Phinehas. Yeah, here we are. Hophni and Phinehas were there with the Ark of the Covenant of God. And when the Ark of the Covenant, verse 5, of the Lord came into the camp, all of Israel shouted, listen, so loudly that the earth shook. Is that good? Well, that's pretty good. There's your praise and worship service right there. There's a lot of hooting and hollering and jumping going on. Verse 6. Now when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, oh no, what does the sound of this great shout from the camp of the Hebrews mean? Then they understood that the Ark of the Lord had come into the camp. So the Philistines were afraid and they said, God has come into the camp. And they said, woe to us, verse 8. Who will deliver us from the hand of these mighty gods? These are the gods who struck Egypt with the plagues. That was 400 years before. And they still remember. Verse 9. They said, well, I'll tell you what. Conduct yourselves like men. These Philistines are saying, right now they are serving us. We don't want to serve them. So let's fight. Put your Jesus glasses on. That's what the devil does too. At the name of Jesus, do the demons tremble? What's the answer? Absolutely. And when you were worshiping and shouting as these guys were, is that a good thing? Of course it is. But don't be fooled. Your enemy doesn't go, ee! And run away. Yes, they tremble. Yes, they are fear. But they just show back up on a Tuesday. Amen? Sunday, they can't touch you because you're filled with the Spirit. They said, that's cool. He's confessing his sins. Look, he's praying with somebody. He's divulged that he's been struggling with this. And now it's no longer a secret. And the enemy said, well, we can't keep him wiped out with a secret. He's confessed to another brother. They've bared one another's burdens. And now this guy is signed up to become accountable to other brothers. I can't touch him there, but you know what I'll do? I'll wait. His emotions flow and then ebb. And then when it's 11:30 at night and he's cruising around on the internet, I'm just going to whisper that little thing that always works. Click here. And then I got him again. just because we had a kicking worship service this morning and it was cool. You got to stay with it. You got to keep WWPF. When do you get to stop that process, by the way? Not until after you get your brand new body. But until then, it's a battle. They're coming back. Verse 10. So the Philistines fought and Israel was, look you guys, they were what? Say that with me. They're defeated. Wait a minute. I thought they had the ark with them. They did. Watch this. Every man fled to his tent and there was very great slaughter. And there fell of Israel, look at this, 30,000 more. Also, the ark of God was what? Huh? No way, dude, that's the ark. That's Indiana Jones. No, it's not. It's a box. It is an it. It has no power. The God of the Ark of the Covenant has the power. Don't ever forget that. It's never an it. Also, the ark was captured, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, died. Look at the very end of chapter 4, verse 21. One of the boys who died had a wife who was about to give birth to a child. And Eli, the old man, hears that the sons were killed in this, and that the ark had been captured. And the Bible says he was a very large man, he was a very old man, and he fell off his stool and broke his neck and died. So now the daughter-in-law knows that the father-in-law is dead and the husband is dead. She gives birth to a child. Look at verse 20. And about the time of her death, the woman who stood by her said to her, "Do not fear, you have borne a son." But she did not answer, nor did she regard it. Then she named the child Ichabod. Some of you Bible students, that should ring a bell. What is Chabad? Chabad. It's the glory of God. That pillar of fire, you know what that was? That was the Chabad. What lit the Holy of Holies? The Chabad. What stopped the encroaching forces of Egypt? The Chabad of God. The weight, the substance of a present God. She puts an I in front of it. In Hebrew, that means the opposite. This word, Ichabod, is where is the Chabad now? Wow. I love how the Bible is about real people in real settings. Have you ever felt that? Where is God? Where is this Chabad? Come on. Anybody? You do it sometimes. You read your Bible, you close it with a snort. Yeah, not me. It can happen when you believe that the presence of God is somehow connected to an it versus a who. Ichabod, the glory has departed from Israel because the ark of God has been captured because of her father-in-law and her husband. Now chapter 5. Let's follow the camera now as the ark now arrives at the Philistine camp. And we're almost done. Chapter 5 verse 1. Then the Philistines took the ark of God, brought it from Ebenezer to Ashdod. And when the Philistines took the ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon. Dagon was a deity that had a fish for a head, and then it had regular torso and arms of a man, and it was considered by that region to be the father of another fellow by the name of Baal. Dagon, like many of these idols, was so popular because it was a fertility god, which means you get to do lots of hanky-panky, sexually speaking. And who doesn't want to sign up for that group? Pornea was often a part of everything that Dagon was about. Into the house of Dagon, and they set it by Dagon. Verse 3. And when the people of Ashdod arose early in the morning, there was Dagon. Only look, he's fallen on its face to the earth before the ark of the Lord. So they said, well, there's something fishy going on here. Just seeing if you're paying attention. So they took Dagon and set it on its place again. Huh, they said. Well, that's pretty peculiar. Verse 4. And when they arose early the next morning, there was Dagon fallen on its face to the ground before the ark of the Lord. This time the head of Dagon and both the palms of its hands were broken off and had somehow rolled over to the threshold, and only Dagon's torso was left in it. So the maintenance guy who was first in the morning, he said, "Dagon it, there it is again." I got two out of that one. Verse 5. Therefore, neither the priests of Dagon nor any other who came into Dagon's house tread on the threshold of Dagon in Ashdod to this day. They honored the power of the God of the ark more than their Dagon. Why didn't they switch? Because Dagon, let's face it, Dagon, I get to do all the fleshly pornea things when I'm hanging with Dagon. Verse 6. But the hand of the Lord was heavy on the people of Ashdod, and he ravaged them and struck them with tumors. That's the Hebrew word, tekor. And can I just be in polite company? You know what this is really? This is hemorrhoids. Both Ashdod and its territories. And when the men of Ashdod saw how it was, they said, "Oh man, look at this. The ark of the Lord comes and sits in this thing of Dagon. And Dagon can't hang, he can't stand, he keeps falling down and breaking to pieces. And all of my sicknesses are getting highlighted." We don't have time to turn there, but another thing is happening. Rats are eating up everybody's stuff. And when the ark of God, the holiness of the Lord, comes to Dagon's house, my gods are bowing down before it. What do I do? Let's get rid of God's holiness. No, the ark of God of Israel must not remain with us. I wrote in my Bible, what? Let's all stand together, shall we? How powerful is that, you guys? How powerful is that? And when we got together today with the Lord's table, with communion, that's pretty powerful stuff. The blood of the God who zipped up a human suit and paid for all sin. And what is the bread? It's just a cracker. But what does it stand for? It stands for God's broken body. Why? So that when holiness comes into my life, I tell Dagon, "Out with you." And all the work of my hand that only ends up just being rat food. Lord, you set my hands to your ministry. Set my feet on your path. Loved one, what I'm saying is this. God says, be holy. And the picture is that of the ark. When the ark comes in, Lord Jesus, this morning I pray that these Old Testament pictures truly are New Testament principles. Zechariah, we wrapped up today with what? That the holiness of God will triumph. And in the millennial reign, with Jesus ruling and reigning from the cross, all the humans, public, private, and sacred observances will be marked by holiness. But until that day, Lord, let us take a page out of 1 Samuel chapter 5. If there's darkness, if there's illness, if there is just that the Phineas and Hophni thing in me that just disdains the things of God, or if I'm just bored, or, Lord, whatever it might be, I don't need a marriage counselor so much as I need you, God, and your holiness. Lord Jesus, give us a revelation of the holiness of God sitting squarely in our hearts and lives. How do I do that? I open up the can of Whipoff. WWPF, Word, Worship, Prayer, and Fellowship. Amen, you guys? In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to the Book of Zechariah with Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. We hope these Old Testament truths have been helpful models of just how powerfully God works right now in the life and ministry of every believer. If you missed any of today's message or would like to hear it in its full unedited format, you can watch this or any of Pastor Steve's teachings at our website. Just visit us at harvestreno.org. That's www.harvestreno.org. Come join us Sundays at 10:30 and Wednesday evenings at 6:30. Harvest is located at 350 South Rock Boulevard in Reno. Until next time, Pastor Steve encourages all of us to follow Acts 2:42 and Word, Worship, Prayer, and Fellowship every day. May the Lord bless you and keep you as we are washed by the water of the Word.